that yesterday Josh got to not all the way down to the two dots, right? But
I have no idea, but it probably makes sense to start from the two dots.
Oh, you're
the only one here, and I wasn't here.
Oh, okay, fantastic. So we'll start from the two dots. Okay, whoever missed it, I guess we'll make it up. We are five lines from the bottom of the page at Tanu Rabbanan, two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, Matza Shover, if a guy finds a shover, he finds a receipt for a ksuba that says that it's already been paid, so Bizman Sheyisha Moda Yachzi Lebal. So if the woman is Moda that the receipt in fact has already been paid, so then you found the shover, you could return it to the husband so he can have the proof of payment. But Ein HaYisha Moda Lo Yachzi Lo Lezeb Lo Lezeb. But if the woman does not admit that the shover has already been paid, that the ksuba rather has already been paid, so then you cannot return the shover, then we're suspicious that the shover is not legitimate. So Bizman Sheyisha Moda Mios Yachzi Lebal. So bottom line though, we said that if the woman is moda, then there's nothing to worry about. Meaning, if the woman admits that the ksub has been paid, then there's nothing to be concerned about with this shover. You don't have to worry about anything. You can return it to the husband and everything's fine. But frankly, Gemara, is there really nothing to worry about? V'leichosh, why aren't we concerned for the following possibility? Dilma kasva litein benisan, v'lo nasna ad tishrei. Maybe he was supposed to pay back the ksuba in Nisan, and that's what it says in the shovar, that it was paid back in Nisan. In reality, it was not paid back until Tishrei. Va'azla zvanta l'ksuba b'tovas hana'a minisana Tishrei. She sold the rights to her ksuba, meaning for a cheaper price, because the rights to the ksuba do not guarantee that you'll ever get paid anything. I mean, obviously, if the woman dies first, there is no payment for a ksuba. So she sold the rights for her ksuba at a cheaper price because there's a certain risk in it to somebody between Nisan and Tishrei. And as a result, in reality, the ksuba was not yet paid at that point, so she was really selling something. The guy she was selling it to was really entitled to receive that ksuba, to receive whatever land is dedicated to paying back the ksuba. So velonas vazam zvant ksuba b'tovas hanam nisan tishrei umapakle l'shovar diksiv b'nisan va'asal mitzvah l'kuch shlokadin. And now you're going to give this husband a shovar that has the earlier date on it that says that it was already paid up at the earlier date, which means that at the time the woman sold the ksuba to this other fellow, she was selling nothing. So there was nothing left to sell. The ksuba had already been paid up, and they're going to go take away the properties from this innocent guy who bought the ksuba shelo kedin, and it's going to be improper. They're not supposed to do that. So why are we allowed to return the shovar? So says the Gemara, Amar Rava Shmamina Isul de Shmuel. So we see from here that we must hold like Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Amocher Sharchov L'Chaver V'Chazur Machlo Machul V'Afilu Yorish Machel. Because Shmuel told us that if a person sells a Sharchov, I sell you a document that says that somebody owes me money, and I therefore give you the rights to collect that money, and then I go to the person that owes me money after I sell it to you, and I say, Machel, you don't have to pay me back. Shmuel says, it's machel, it works. And even a yorish is allowed to be machel. So that's why we're not concerned for anything over here, because the ksuba is a shtarchov. The husband owes the woman money. So granted, the woman went and she sold the ksuba to somebody else, but she still has the right to be machel the husband. So this is no worse than being machel the husband, meaning maybe in fact the ksuba had not yet been paid up at that time. But the fact that the woman is saying, I want you to return the shover to the husband, that's the woman being machel. When she says, return the shover to the husband, she's saying, I'm mochel the husband from paying me back, and therefore the lokeach loses out, and it's legitimate that he loses out. He's supposed to lose out. There's a discussion in the Rishonim why it is that you're allowed to be mochel ishtarchov after you've already been after you've already sold the shtarchov to somebody else. So in the Biuri Rishonim over here, he quotes all these different shitos on the side of the daf in these newer Gemaras. He says v'chazu machla machal. So first he quotes Rashi ksubas peyhem beis. Damle lova lokech lav bal dvarm didiat. So first of all, he says just svara the lova can say to the lokeach, you're not my, I don't have any business with you. Shalova lo neschayv lokeach klum. The lova doesn't owe the lokeach anything, elam machmas hamocher, except for because of the mocher, vare machlo etzlo, and he was already mochel to him. So he has no business directly with him. And then he quotes the Rashbam in Meseches Babasra, that this is not really as extreme a position as it sounds like. Nevertheless, even though you're allowed to be mochel, still the mocher has to return the money that the lokeach paid for the ksuba or for the shtar chov. The mocher does have to return that money. Why? And there's really Gemara and Ksubas that the halacha is we're done dina de garmi, meaning there are types of damage that are very direct, and there are types that are very indirect. That's called grama, and grama ben nizikin is pater. And then there are types that are somewhat direct, called garmi. There's a major discussion in Rishonim exactly what the defining line is between grama and garmi. It's not abundantly clear that there is a single rule that defines the difference between grama and garmi, but certainly there are cases in Shas where the Gemara will label garmi, which is a more somewhat direct way of damage, somewhat indirect and somewhat direct, and we paskin that da'in dina de garmi, that you're going to be chayiv for causing damage through garmi. One of the examples of garmi where we pass in your chayiv is if I take shtaros that you have that say that people owe you money and I burn them, right? So it's not direct damage because the piece of paper, how much is that worth? It's not worth anything really, but it's somewhat direct because those shtaros meant money to you. That meant your ability to collect. I burn a check that someone wrote to you, so that means money to you. So that's going to be chayiv. So he says that's the same thing over here. If I sell a shtar chov to somebody else, and then a mochel the shtar chov, so he's certainly going to be chayiv in that case. And he says yesh mefarshim, and then he quotes yesh mefarshim, and he's quoting really Tosfos and Kiddushin Daf Memches as follows: that haynu taima de mochel mochel. Why is it that when you mochel it works? Mishum de kinyan shtar einu ela midrabanan. Because the whole idea of a kinyan shtar is only midrabanan. V'lo alim lahavkia koach harishon shlo yuchal limchel oso. So the whole idea of me selling a shtar chov to you, when you buy that shtar chov, the whole kinyan is only midrabanan. So that drabanan kinyan does not overpower my da oraisa right to be mochel my chov, to be mochel what somebody owes me. So therefore, I'm still allowed to go and be mochel. So that's the vart of Tosfos in Maseches Kiddushin. Okay, so moving on, says Gemara, Abayi Amar, Afilu Teima Leisili D'Shmuel. Maybe you don't even have to hold like Shmuel, and there's still nothing to be concerned about. Meaning, maybe even if you hold that if you're Mocher Shtar Chov V'Chazur Machlo, maybe you could even hold Eino Machlo, that you do not have the right to be Mocher Shtar Chov, and still there's nothing to worry about. Over here we're talking about a case where the woman still has the shtar ksuba, and therefore, says Rashi, b'shashtar ksuba yotzi mitachas yada shemeviyah lefaneinu. She brings her shtar ksuba to Beis Din. So what was the whole concern? We're afraid she sold the shtar ksuba to somebody else to go collect with it in the event that it becomes collectible, and then it's going to turn out that the lokech is going to lose out. But we know there's no lokech over here because the woman's still holding on to the shtar ksuba. Shila macharta, had she sold it, says Rashi, ha'isum asaras ha'ksuba bi'ada lokech. She certainly would have given the ksuba to the lokech. She would not still be holding on to the ksuba. So the fact that she's still holding on to the ksuba is the greatest raya that she did not sell it, right? And the Ramban explains that. How do I know she would give the ksuba? Because mistama lo samcha daitayu de lekuchas, lokeach wouldn't be okay with it if he didn't have the ksuba in hand. To just buy the ksuba and not have the ksuba in hand, he would not be okay with that. That's how Rashi explains. Others say that no, that it's impossible that she sold the ksuba if she still has in hand. It's not that it's unlikely, because why would the lokeach let her hold on to the shtar? No, others say, the Ran explains, it's impossible that she sold it if she's still holding on to it. Why? Because ein osios niknos el biksivo b'mesira. Meaning the shtar can only be, you can only be makna the shtar to somebody else if you actually give them the shtar. If you don't give them the shtar, if the physical shtar is still in your possession, there's no other way to be kone a shtar. So there's no way a lokech was ever kone it. So that's why shtar ksubi yotzei mitachas yada is efshar. It's impossible that the lokech was ever kone it. It's impossible that the lokech is the real owner. So those are two pshatim again. Rashi and the Ran. Rashi that it's possible, but it's highly unlikely, because why would the lokech allow her to still hold on to it? And the Ran that no, that by definition, there must have not been a kinyan if she's still holding on to the ksuba. The Rava Amar, and Rava will respond, no, imishum shtar ksuba, chashinu l'shtei ksubos. if she's still holding on to Shtar Ksuba, that's still not proof that she didn't sell her Ksuba, because maybe there are really two Ksubos. Maybe we should be Choshesh that she had two Ksubos, so one of them she gave to the Lokeach, and now she wants to be Choshesh and what she gave to the Lokeach and be Mochel to her husband, so she gives the Shovar of, she gives the Shovar and she still has the other Ksuba. So Rava says it's not good enough if she's holding on to the Shtar Ksuba. Rabbi would respond to that, Chada, first of all, Lishtei Ksubas Lo Chashinan. We're never Choshesh for two Ksubas. That's the Ritvas points out, Milsel Lo Shchiach. That's highly unlikely that there's ever two Ksubas. So we're not going to be Choshesh that maybe there's a second Ksuba. That's not at all the normal Chashash. So that's first of all. Va'od Shovar Bizmano Tarif. And also shover bismano tarif. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, va'od inami zvanta betovas hana'a, if she sold the ksuba betovas hana'a, less on the mechash l'shem akas for the shover benisan v'lo kibla atishrei. He says, I don't understand this whole chash. What are we worried about? That she wrote the shover was written in Nisan, but she didn't get paid the actual ksuba until Tishrei. Inami hachi hava. Let's say that did happen. Let's say that was the case. Kimata shover liyade betishrei, zochel mafreya bo mizman chasimaso. In reality, it's not that her sale in the interim is really a valid sale, and she's going to take. We're going to end up taking away from the kulcho shalokadin. No, as soon as she does get the payment, it turns out that lemafreya her sale was invalid. And this is a bayil shita. So that the date in the shover is determinant of when the kinyan really happens. So abay l'tamei damer edav b'chasum of zachlo. That's abay l'shitaso. That edav b'chasum of zachlo. That it's the chasimos on the shtar that determine everything. We're not interested in when the transaction really takes place. We're interested in what the shtar says. So the shtar, as long as the shtar predates her acquisition of her sale of the ksuba. So that's all that matters. It's the status of the whole concern. Meaning this va'od is going back to the original question of why aren't we concerned that something happened in between? There's simply nothing to be concerned about because there's nothing that could have happened that would really ruin anything. Okay, new Mishnah. Matzah Igaros Shum V'Igros Mazan. If someone finds on the street Igros Shum, what's Shum? Rashi says Shashamu Bezin Nichse Lova Lamalva Bechovo. That Bezin evaluates the possessions of the Lova in order to be returned to the Malva for in payment of the Chov. So Bezin has an Igaros that evaluates the value of the Lova's field. The Igros Mazon. Igros Mazon is that the husband is Mekabel to support his wife's daughter, who happens to not be his own daughter. So Igros Mazon, Shtari Chalitza Miyunin, you find a Shtar Chalitza, which suggests that a Chalitza took place, and Miyunin, where Miyun is when a Katana is a Yesoma, she doesn't have a father, so her mother and her brother marry her off, Midrabanan, so she's allowed to do Miyun prior to becoming Gdola, and then she won't need a get from that husband, since it was only Kedushin Drabanan. A Miyun is like a get Midrabanan, to undo that marriage. So she says, Bifnei Shlosha, she says in front of three people, Ef she beploni baili, I'm not interested in this guy anymore, I don't want to be with this guy anymore, and Beis Din writes a shtar that she was memayin in front of them as a keepsake, so she can be able to prove wherever she goes that she's allowed to get remarried, that she's not bound to this guy that she was married to previously, that she's no longer married to him. So it's like a woman who is able to walk around with a get, or the shtar chalitza, right? A woman whose husband died who needs a shtar chalitza to prove that she had a chalitza and that she's not an aguna, she's able to go and get remarried. So shtar miyun is that same thing on a drabana level. Ushtari birurin, or someone finds shtari birurin, and Rashi says we have to wait for the Gemara to find out what shtari birurin mean. The Gemara doesn't have two possibilities. We call ma'isa bezin, or any ma'isa bezin, hareza yachzir. You return any of these things. There's nothing to worry about in any of them. Says Rashi, why? You don't have to worry that maybe he changed his mind. Because Bezin only writes these things when it happened, when it's already done. Right? Bezin doesn't write a shtar chalitza when they're thinking about doing chalitza. Bezin writes a shtar chalitza when chalitza is done. So you don't have to worry about any of these things that maybe it didn't happen. And these also aren't payable documents. So there's nothing to worry about in terms of Piron that maybe was paid up. No, these aren't documents that have anything to do with payment, so it's not an issue of payment. So all these shtaros, you could certainly return. There's nothing to worry about. What about the following? Matza bechafisa, you find shtaros in a bag, in some type of pouch or some type of bag, which the Gemara will explain what each of these types of bags are. Or you find a shtaros wrapped together, or a pile of shtaros bound together. In all these cases, you're allowed to return them. Why you're allowed to return shtaros that are found in a bag or that are wrapped together? So again, says Rashi, t'davar sheyesh bo simenhu. So it's something that has a simen, k'mefarish b'gemara. Shahakli simen. The kli itself is a simen. K'shiyomar abaylam b'kli, kach v'kach matzas osam. And the Bible says, yeah, in this type of kli, you found them. V'chein tachruch l'aguda. And also, if it's bound up in a certain way, harei ziyachsu, davar sheyesh bo simenhu, k'mefarish b'gemara, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the simen is. And if I can tell you that there were four shtaros, this one piled on top of that one, or whatever, so that's good enough. So then I can, you're allowed to return such a shtar, because there's no foul play to be concerned about. Now, the case of Matzah B'Chafisa, right, so the Meiri points out, we're not going back on the first case in the Mishnah now. Now we're going back, Osen Shtaros Shamarnu Alein Shalo Yachzir. We're going back on the previous Mishnahs that spoke about shtaros that you don't return. So we're saying, even those shtaros that you don't return, if you find them in a chafisa, in a dluskama, in whatever, in piles, bound, tachrich, whatever, even those shtaros, if they're found in that way, then you're allowed to return them. Meaning, which shtaros? Gerisha, shtarchov, right? All those things, as long as they're in this chafisa, so it's in some sort of pouch, it has some sort of simen, then it becomes returnable. Then you're allowed to return it, starting because of these special simanim that they have. The kama agudah shel shtaros, back in the Mishnah, what exactly is the definition of an agudah shel shtaros? Shlosha k'shurin zebezeh. Agudah shel shtaros means three shtaros that are connected to each other. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, if you find three shtaros that all have one guy borrowing from three separate individuals, from three separate malves, so then obviously it all fell from the lova, because why would anybody else have three shtaros that the lova borrowed money from the malva? So obviously the shtaros fell from the lova, and therefore you return them to the lova. Shlosha lova mina echad yachzul malva. But if you have three shtaros, each with a different lova, but all with the same malva, all with the same lender, so then you return it to the malva, because obviously he's the one that dropped the shtaros. There's a major discussion in the Rishonim over here. Is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel arguing on the Tanakhama, or is he just adding a new twist? If he is arguing on the Tanakhama, why does the Tanakhama disagree? What Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says seems extremely reasonable, that if three shtaros all have the same lova and different malves, so it's very likely that the lova is the one that had it. It had already been paid up, the lova, or had not, the loans had not yet taken place, whichever it is, and that's why the lova still had these shtaros. So the Rishonim explain, the Tosfos Rid explains as follows. He says, Yesh lomar de baha pligi, that perhaps they are arguing, and this is the machlokas. The Tanakhama sovereign, Tanakhama holds, dafka al yidei simin tachruch la'aguda ma'adrinan, that you only return it when there's a simin of the fact that they're bound together in a pile or whatever. Aval iyav simana lo samchinon amucha milsa. But if he gives any other simen, so that's not going to be good enough. But this simen is going to work for the malva or the lova. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel savar, afal gavta lo yahavi simana, even if there's no actual simen. Meaning, apparently, Tanakhama held, no, you need to give an actual simen. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, no, even if you don't actually give a simen, meaning, it doesn't have to be that the lova says, oh, you found them piled up and it was three in a pile or whatever. No, you don't need that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, as long as the three names match, that's all you need. The Tanakhama was saying, no, I need a simon. I need you to tell me that you found three piled together, or tied together, or bound together, or in a bag, or whatever. You need that in order to return them. Meaning, what's the other possibility? That maybe it fell from the Safra Dedaina. Maybe it fell from the Sofer who was writing all the shtaros. You don't need to give a simon. The fact that all the names are the same, that the name of the lova in all three is the same, means you give it back to the lova. So the issue at hand, says the Tosfos Rid, is do you return it even without a simon? Or like the Rav Shmuel Amiel says, they return it even without a simon, just having the names are the same. And we're not choshesh that maybe the malvah is bringing it to be mekayim the shtaros, and that's where it fell from the person who's mekayim shtaros before it ever became a kuyim or whatever. Or the lova, if the name of the lova was the same, is that he was... he had just brought it to the sofer to die, or he had just asked the sofer to write the shtaros, even though therefore he did not have it yet, and the sofer dropped it. So that's the issue. The issue is whether you need a simon in addition to having the names match up, or you don't need a simon in addition to having the names match up. That is the sheet of the Tosfos Rid. And however, many other Rishonim disagree, and they said that Rav Shmuel is not at all arguing on the Tanakhama. He's just coming to be Mosifel Dvar. He's just adding to what the Tanakhama had to say. Vaitu, let's finish off the mission over here. Matzah Shtar Ben Shtarosav. Person finds a shtar amongst the shtaros, and he has no idea what the shtar is all about, so meaning whether it's paid, whether it's not paid, he has no idea what the story is with the shtar, so meaning, the point is, it doesn't have his name on it. If it had his name on it, so then it's easy, right? If it's a shtar that has my name on it, says someone else owes me money, so it's likely that other person still owes me money. If it says I owe somebody else money, why do I have it? It must be it's already paid back if I have it. So no, we're talking about a shtar that doesn't have my name on it, but I have a shtar that says Reuven El Shimon money. But I don't remember why I had that shtar. I don't remember if the Lova gave it to me as a safekeep or the Malva gave it to me. Or maybe it was partially paid up, and therefore they trusted me as a shlish to hold on to it, because I'm not going to take it out and say, okay, Reuven still owes Shimon the full $100. No, it was partially paid up. Nor will I lose it and say that it was entirely paid up, so they trusted me to hang on to it. But I don't remember if that's what happened. I have no recollection of what it is, so you have to just leave it at Sheyavo Eliyahu. Im Yeshiman Symphonos, Yasem Hashem Symphonos. If there's a symphon, symphon always means, for some reason Rashi doesn't say this until Lamed Beis, but he translates the word symphon means Kol Davar, Hamavatel Davar, Kari Symphon. Anything that's Mavatel something else is called a symphon. So a symphon is like a receipt. So if you find Symphonos, together with the shtaros, so you listen to the symphonos. When the symphon says that the shtar is already paid up, so that's it. Right? And it says the Rashi, Vim Yeshiman Symphon Mili Mili Katani. There's a separate issue. Hamotzi Bein Shtarosav Shovar Shenichtav Lechem Shtarosav. We're not going on the previous case where you find a shtar that doesn't have your name in it. No, now we're talking about you find shtaros that do have your name in it, and there's a symphon on that shtar that has your name in it. So then you listen to what it says in the symphon, Yasem Hashem B'Symphon V'Shtar B'Cheskas Parua, and you can assume that the shtar was paid up. V'Afal Pi Shayil Shovar Azelios Munach Bi'ad Alove Amrinon Haminu Alove V'Amar Marchat Tenei V'Shachach. I shouldn't be the one holding on to the symphon if in fact it was already paid up. Meaning, the lova should be the one that's holding on to the symphon, not the malve. So we assume that yeah, it was already paid up, but the lova trusted me to hang on to the symphon. He said, "Yeah, give it to me tomorrow or whatever. I trust you; you can hang on to it. We had a good relationship." So that's why the symphon may be legitimate, or we assume is legitimate, and it was paid up, even though the malve is still the one hanging on to the. To the symphon. Okay, says the Gemara. First issue is there was a phrase in the mission that we didn't translate. My shtari birurin. What are shtari birurin? Right, we mentioned this idea of shtari birurin. Says Gemara, hacha tirgumu shtara ta'inasa. The targum is that it's shtari taina. Rabbi Yirmiyamar, no, zebor lo echad, zebor lo echad. Shtari birurin relates to the third parak of Masech Sanhedrin, where the Gemara discusses a bezdin zavla, right? A bezdin that's chosen by zebor lo echad, each litigant choosing a dayan, and then the two dayan together choosing a third dayan. So that's what shtari birurin means, to be mevar the dayan. V'komais bezdin arizei yachzir, says the Gemara Vayter, and the Mishnah said, all my sabezin you return. So says Gemara, who gita deshtak beidina dravuna. The Gemara is going to repeat a story that we literally just had. The whole story is from two dapim ago, and the Gemara repeats the whole thing. So there's a certain get that was found in the bezin, and the get was mukuyim with a henpik, and the shliach who was bringing it says that it fell from him, that he dropped it. But there was a get that was found in the basin of Rafuna, davaksivbe bishviri masa dal rachas nahara. And it said that it was given in shviri masa al rachas nahara. So I'm Rafuna. So Rafuna said, chayshin l'shnei shviri. We're worried, maybe there are two shviris. How do we know which shviri he came from? And therefore, we cannot assume that the man and woman by this name that we know of were divorced with this get. So Rav Chisda tells Rabbi, you better go look into it, because in the morning Rav Huna is gonna ask you questions about this. So Rabbi went and researched. He found the Mishnah. Says, I don't know what Rav Huna is talking about. I think every Maisa Bezin, the Mishnah says, every Maisa Bezin you return. So here you have a Maisa Bezin, it's Mekuyim, it has a handpick. You should absolutely return. And we're not worried about Shnei Shaviri, that there are two Shaviris. So, Amrle Rav, Amrle Rabba, Hechi Pashin Mari Surimi Mimona. Wait a second, just because it says Kol Ma'aseh Beis Din Harei Zeh Yachzir, think about it for a second. Kol Ma'aseh Beis Din are dinei mamonis. That's shtaros that have to do with mamon. You're going to base yourself on that and return a get? A get is the Isser, it's Isser V'Heter. So just because you're allowed to return a shtar of dinei mamonis, you think you're allowed to return Isser V'Heter as well, how can you be poshet a dinei Isser V'Heter from dinei mamon? Amalei Tarda, so he said back to him, Tarda, what does Tarda mean? So Rashi says Meshur Amam, which means crazy person. Elsewhere Rashi says it means Shota, O Atzel, either a person who's deranged or a lazy person, meaning either way it's not a compliment. So he says to him, Tarda, Shtari Chalitzu Miyunin Tanan. What are you talking about? The Mishnah doesn't just say Shtari, Shtarim of Dini Mamanis. The Mishnah has on the list also Shtari Chalitza, Shtari Miyun. It's all Yisr V'Heter. So you see, even by Yisr V'Heter, you return to Maisa Bezin. Paka Arza de Beirav. And at that point, as soon as that conversation took place, so the main pillar that held up the base medrash, fell. So it broke, it snapped. So obviously everyone understood that was a siman min hashamayim. There are always simanim min hashamayim, but everyone understands simanim min hashamayim differently, right? So maram mishum l'asay didi paka. One guy says it was because of my honor that it fell. Maram mishum l'asay didi paka. The other one said, no, it was my honor that it fell for. Meaning you started yelling at me that why am I learning Yisr from Mamon? Abaye says so. Therefore, Rabbi says rather so. Therefore, it fell to defend my honor and. Rav Amram said, no, it's because you called me names. So it felt to defend my honor. That's a good lesson in general in life. People always see Simanim in HaShemayim, but they see it exactly how they want to see the Simanim in HaShemayim. You have a lot of examples in Tanakh like that. Right? The Meraglim go to Eretz Yisrael, and they see these giants, and there are funerals all over the place. So everyone sees the Simanim in HaShemayim. The 10 Meraglim see that's a Simanim in HaShemayim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us we better not go in, that this is a warning sign. And the other two see a Simanim in Hashemayim. Look, the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking care of it, that the people are going to be so busy with the funerals that they're not going to even pay attention to us, and that means we're going to be Matzliach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is on our side. You always, when David takes the throne in Sefer Shmuel Beis, when David becomes the Melech, so what happens? You have Chira Melech Tzur, he's a Simon Min HaShemayim, that he should that this is a good idea to make peace with David and to send help, and he sends people to build the palace for David and everything else, and it turns out he has a great relationship with Shlomo, and he gets the contract to build the Beis HaMikdash. Fantastic. And the Plishtim see a Simon, there's a new Melech, it's time to attack. They're weak now, because they have a new Melech, and it's a new administration, we have to test the new administration. Everyone sees different Simonim the way they want to see it sometimes. Anyway, okay, so that's the machlokas over here, that Rav Huna was concerned of Shnei Shviri, and Rabbi says, no such concern, you return to Maisa Beis Din. We don't learn Isra Mimona, our Mishnah is talking about Isra as well. Now, why do you say we're choshesh for Shnei Shviri, not we're choshesh for two people of the same name? Why doesn't he say that with Choshish for that? So you have to say that Tosfos Maseches Gittin writes that we're talking about a case where Yadua Lahem, that in that city of Shviri they only had one guy by that name, right? That's what you'd have to say. The Ritva, however, in Gittin Daf Chav Zayin says no, that it's a Chiddush that Shnei Yosef and Shimon, you could check. Shnei Yosef and Shimon, you wouldn't just say, oh, we're Choshish, maybe it is. You could check the census, check the records, see if there is another Yosef and Shimon. But this, you can't even check. It's impossible to ever know whether there's Shnei Shiri, because you can't check the entire world. You know, and they didn't have a way of going around the entire world and checking if there's another town called Shviri anywhere on the globe. So even though it was impossible to check, so he says, we're always going to be Choshish, that maybe, there's another Shviri on the river by that name as well. That's point number one. Point number two, the Gemara said we don't learn Isser from Mammon. How could Rabbah go and say that you see from the Mishnah you're supposed to return a get? Our Mishnah was talking about Shtari Mammon. Fraktosos fim tomar tfeyanan machmirin b'mamona. We're generally more machmir by Mammon. So adraba, meaning that's a very good raya. If by Mammon we were even more machmir, you're allowed to return it. So then for sure by Yisr you're allowed to return it. Where does he get this idea that we're more machmir by Mammon than we are by Yisr? He says, Dainanu halkim b'mammon achar rov b'yisuraz ligun basaruba. Afilu heichadika chazakit yisura k'neged harov. The rule is, by Mammon we never follow a rov. By Yisr we do follow a rov, even when there's a chazaka against the rov. V'lo cheshin yishem makum nekav kashachit. Right, what happens when you shecht an animal? The animal prior to that had a chazaka that it was not kosher to eat, and now you shecht it, and it's mutter. Maybe in the place where you shechted it, right where you sliced with the knife, there was already a hole inside the animal, and the animal is therefore already a trefa. You're never going to be able to tell now, because now you sliced its neck open, so you can't tell. But maybe the animal was hurt in that area, and the animal is a trefa the whole time. Now, what's the answer? Rov animals don't have a problem in that area, and therefore rov animals are not trefa, so you don't have to worry that maybe this one was a trefa. So you see, by Isser, even though it was Becheskas Isser, we follow rov. So don't you see that Mammon is more severe than Isser? So shouldn't Rabbah have a very good raya? That if, forget the fact that our Mishnah was talking about even Isser Vahetr, even if it was only talking about Dini Mammonus. If by Mammon you're allowed to return it, so for sure by Isser Vahetr you should be allowed to return it. So says Tosfos Yeshomer to be called Makom Be'ishas Ishich Miru, the Mayim Shein Lemsof Lo Sinasi Lechachil Afa Pli Sheruv HaMesim. That by Ishas Ish we have special chumras. It's not like other Isser Vahetr. By Ishas Ish, by Mayim Shein Lemsof, a husband falls into the water and there's no sof to the water, so he could have ended up anywhere. We're machmir. We don't allow her to get remarried, even though most of the time when someone falls into the ocean and Sein Lam Sof, we assume that they're dead. Generally speaking, they do die. Va'od Yishlomar, Dimi Daraisa Lo Chashir L'Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. That on Daraisa level, we're not worried for Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. Avol Mi Drabanan Chashinan Mishum Laaz. But we are Choshish on Drabanan level because of Laaz. B'Mamon Lo Shayech Laaz. But there's no concern of Laaz by Mammon, that people are going to say that they're not divorced, but they're acting like they are and they're getting remarried anyway. It's not a general issue of Isser Mimamon. It's an issue of the particular concern that you have by this case of Isser. If you return Gittin that there might be questions about, so granted, halachically speaking, we think the get is totally legitimate, but we're just worried that people are going to say things, and when people say things, it's going to ruin these people's lives if people are suspicious of the legitimacy of their divorce. So that's what we're asking here. How can you derive anything from Mammon where you don't have any such concerns of Laaz? Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. So we said Matzah b'chafisa b'dluskuma. If you find the shtaros in a chafisa or d'luskuma, even those shtaros that you're not allowed to return, generally, if you find them in these packets, in these bags, you're allowed to return them. My chafisa, what's a chafisa? Amar Rava Bar Bar Chana, chamas ketan. It's a small pouch. Whatever, that's a chafisa. My deluskuma, what's a deluskuma? I'm Rabbi Shmuel, tlika de savi. It's a type of pouch that the old people used to keep all their personal utensils in so that they won't have to look for it. It was something that was like a fanny pack that they would carry around with them, that it was easy for them to find things. I don't know if it looked like a fanny pack, but it was something, you get the idea, of something like that. Tachruk shosharos, gudos shosharos. If you find, as we said, a pile of shtaros or shtaros bound up together, so then you can return it. Tan rabbanu, kamahut tachrich shel shtaros? How much, how many shtaros are in a tachrich of shtaros? Says Marshal Kruchin Zebazeh, if you have three wound up together, the Kamiya Guda Shal Sharos, how much is an aguda of Sharos? Shlosh Kshurin Zebazeh, if you have three tied together. So Shamina Kesha Simon. So you see from here that being tied together is a simon. Hatarin Rabbi Shlosh Kruchin Zebazeh, but wait a second, didn't you just say that even if it's not tied, just having Shlosh Kruchin Zebazeh, just having three wrapped up together is also enough? So of course when you have three tied together it's good enough. What's the Kesher contributing? Just having three together, that's all you need. So says Mar, Yachi Ainu Tachrich, that's the same thing as a Tachrich. Why would you need Kshurin Zebazeh to add to that? Says Mar, Tachrich Kol Chad V'Chad B'Rosh D'Chavre, Aguda D'Ramu Adadi U'Kruchos. That the Tachrich is each one is the bottom of each star is by the top of the previous star, and that's the way they're wrapped up. Aguda is that they're one on top of each other and they're kruchos together. You put three pieces of paper on top of each other and you put them all into a tube, right? You roll them all into a tube. My machris. So what do you go announce when you find this Tachrich Shel Shtaros, right? When you want to see if the owner is going to claim them. So what's the announcement that you make? So minion. So then you announce the number of shtaros that you found. I found three shtaros. Can you tell me anything about it? So mayir tlasa afilu trinami. Then why does the dafka have to be found three? Even if you found two, it should make a difference if it has this, if it's karuch or it's naguda. So Ella says Gemara kadam ravina tiva machriz hachnami shtari machriz. No, all you say is just like sometimes you say that you're supposed to announce not how much money you found, but I found money, and let the person tell you how much money it was, and then you'll know if he really found it. So the same thing with the shtaros. You're just machriz. I found shtaros. And then part of the simon that the guy's going to give you is that, oh, it was three of them and they were kruchin. Or it was three of them and they were kshurin. Something like that. It was an aguda of three. But you don't go announcing that it was three. You just announce you found shtaros. As Rashi says, shtari machris, shtaros matzasi, v'zet tzaruch shiomer kach v'kach hayu. And the guy who wants it has to tell you, yes, it was this amount, ukruchin hayu. And they were wrapped up. Hilkach dafka tlasa, that's why we dafka pick a case of three. Why? Because two would not be enough of a simon. Aval trei, meidi yadia, demir shtaros shtayim, main minyan simon. A guy says, I found shtaros, and someone says, oh, okay, two. Why does he say two? Because it's abnormal to find multiple shtaros. So the smallest amount of shtaros that a guy could have found, if he's saying he found shtaros in the plural, is two. So when I claim that it was two, it's not because I know anything. It's just because that's the normal guess, is that it's two. So as a result, that wouldn't be enough. That's why the Mishnah Dafka gives an example of three. If you find three shtaros, you can go around announcing, I found shtaros, and the guy who knows that it's three and knows that it was kruchin zebzeh, so that's your man. That's the one that deserves the shtaros. Okay. Rav Shum Gamliel omer echad halove mishlosha yachzu lelovas. Rav Shum Gamliel said, one guy borrows from three different people, and three shtaros, they have the name of one lova and all three shtaros, you return it to the lova. Disal kadaitach the malvin, and so the Gemara just explains pashut. Because if you think that it fell from the malva, my bo gabe adati. Why were all three together? Well, all three malvas are walk around together all the time, and they all happen to drop their shtaros at the same time. Nah. So says Gemara, no, maybe there is a reason why they're together. Dumul kiyumin uazli. Maybe the malvas all went to be mekayim the shtaros. And that's why they were all together. It was by the one who's mekayim the shtar, it was by the Beis Din who's mekayim the shtar, the Sofer HaDayanim, who writes the certificate of authenticity on the shtaros. That's who dropped it. Says Gemara de mekayim. No, they're ready mekuyim. Dilma biyada de safra nafel. Maybe they fell from the sofer. Lomashi yidish kiyim biyada de safra. People don't leave the kiyim in by the sofer. So it's only there for 2 seconds. He writes it and then he gives it to you right away. So that's very unlikely. Shlosh shlov me'achad yachzu the malva. So we said if three people borrowed from the same malva, then you return to the malva. Why? Disal kadaitach the lova ninu, my bo gabi adadi. If they belong to the lova, what are they doing all together? So says Gemara Dilma mechtavinu azli. Maybe he brought them to the sofer to write them in the first place, and that's what they're doing all together. Tiksivi b'tlasi adi safri. No, it's written in handwritings of three different sofers, so you know that it wasn't from the sofer. V'dilma l'kiyu minu azli. Maybe they went to be mekayimit. Malva Mekayim Shtari, Lova Lo Mekayim Shtari. No, but that's exactly why we should return to the Malva, because the Malva is the one that's Mekayim Shtari, so the Lova is not the one that is Mekayim Shtari. Why would the Lova be Mekayim Shtari? Just to make it worse for him that he's for sure going to have to pay it back. It's the Malva's job to be Mekayim Shtari, and therefore, even if it did fall from the Kiyum, so you would still return it to the Malva. Then the Mishnah said that if you find receipts, you do what it says in the receipts. If the malva has a receipt, even though it's written in his handwriting, so we assume that it's a joke and that it's puzzle, that it's nothing serious. Lomi by Kasab Xaviat Sofer, Dikla Namer Safras Rami Levikasav, and you don't even need to tell me that this is the case when you find it written in the handwriting of a sofer, where it's possible that it was never paid back, but he just wanted, when he saw a sofer, he said, you know what, I better get a shover written now, because when I do get it paid back, I'm gonna want the shover immediately. I want the shover available to me immediately, because the guy may not want to pay me back, the lova may not want to pay me back unless I'm able to provide him with a shover. And who knows, I'm going to meet him 2 weeks from now, he's going to say, look, I'm ready to pay you, just give me a shover. And I'm going to say, oh, I don't have a shover, and there's no sofer around to write one, so I better have one ready in hand. Right, so that's very likely that a guy has one, even though he never got paid back, the malva still has it. Elafilu kasav ksaviado pasul. Even if the malva wrote in his own ksaviad, where when he meets the lova and the lova says, "I want to pay you back," he could obviously just write one in his own ksaviad if he's capable of writing it. Still, we assume it's pasul. We assume it wasn't yet paid back. Why? Maybe I'm going to see him ben hashmashos. It's going to be literally right at the day's about to end, so he's going to want an up to date. Shofar, so I better have it ready. I better have it on the spot ready, that when he pays me, I'm going to have it. So I better write one now, so that when he gives me the money, I'll be able to pay it to him right away. But that's why he wrote the shofar, even though the money was not yet paid back. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring a series of rayas about whether, in fact, you return a shofar or not. Do we assume that the malva who has the shofar, it's already paid back, or it's not already paid back? So I'm going to try to bring five rayas. I don't know how many we'll get to today. Let's see. Tanan, im yeshimon symphonos yasem mashav symphonos. Our Mishnah says that the malva finds symphonos, he finds shovros, so you listen to them. So you see, beferish, that you assume that it is a legitimate shover. So kedam rav safra shenimtza bein shtaros keruin or peruin. Hachanami shematzu bein shtaros keruin. No, the point is you found the shover amongst torn up shtaros. So that's where you assume that it was already paid back, because why else would the shover end up amongst all these torn up shtaros? So it must be that it was already used, it was already paid back. If you were safe, if you were keeping it to hold on to for when you were going to use it, it wouldn't be amongst your torn up shtaros. So that's the shover isn't torn up, right? So that's why you're somech on the shover, because the where you found it is mochiach that the shtar was that it was already paid up. Now it happens to be there's 2 days in Rashi. What did you find in Shtaros of Karun? First day in Rashi is you found the shtar that the shover was yotze on amongst your torn up shtaros, and it wasn't torn up. That shtar wasn't torn up. So but the place where the shtar was found is mochiach that it was amongst those shtaros that were already paid up, and that's why you rely on the shover. But Rashi says another pshat is, no, you found the shover amongst the torn up shtaros, and therefore we can assume that the chov, you already makabel chov, and the malva doesn't need the shover anymore. That's why he put it amongst his torn up shtaros, because he doesn't need it. The lova is the one that needs it, and the lova forgot to collect it. He never took his shover from you, so that's why you just threw it in your pile of torn up shtaros, because you have no use for it anymore, and that's why it's there. But maybe if you don't find the ben shtaros of keruin, maybe you do not listen to a shover. You assume the malva is just hanging on to it for when the love is going to pay him. Okay, sorry we didn't get to the end of the parak. God willing, tomorrow we'll do the other four rayas and we'll start the second parak of Amitzia, Il Mitzias.